Oh my goodness, the Bat Boys are back. March 11th. Sam, how are we doing? How are we feeling?
Tim, it's good to be back with you. It's been too long. I've actually, we saw each other, we spent like a week together, but we failed to record the pod and we were talking about the whole time. So this has been a long time coming.
Long time coming. You're just getting back from Japan. You wanna...
That's right. I was doing some scouting for the podcast for Valencia, you know. And Tim, I have to tell you, man, I called you one night, which ended up being earlier time, and I don't apologize. I think you should apologize to me for not picking up the call. I don't know if
answer your friend's FaceTime at 7:30 in the morning. I don't know. I want to hear what the listeners have to say.
Honestly, you should have answered because
I forgot you're in Japan, Sam. I was like, something must have gone wrong out there. It's 4:30 in the morning.
If something had gone wrong, then you wouldn't have answered. I feel
No, you would have texted me immediately or called me again, and then I would have not answered. And then you would have done it a third time, and then I would have answered. I'm like, okay, something's
so if I had done it three times, that's good to know. I should have done that. Tim and listeners, I don't know if we've covered this, but you know, when Tim and I were young in Valencia, kind of postgraduate school, before our careers had started, we kind of fantasized about, you know, the people we wanted to be. And Tim wanted to be someone that people just paid him to show up places, you know, and just kind of fly him around the world. What I had wanted instead was I was like living, you know, in a house in Spain, kind of outside the main city, and people would just come to me and ask for advice on whichever topic I had, you know, had some expertise in. And then we would drink vermouth, and I would have like an amazing vermouth collection. And then they would go, and they would just come and visit me on my land and want this advice.
Like a town elder.
Yeah. I was like a mentor to everybody about whatever particular issue it was. It didn't really matter what particular issue it was, but that was the role I played. Well, I met this guy in Japan, Tim. I met this guy, and I was really blew my hair back because kind of I was there for space mostly. And kind of everybody had like studied under this guy. Like his name was like Professor Shirasaki, like everybody who was anybody in their Japan space program. So I met him and he was so cool. And then he was like, hey, I knew you were in town like a couple months ago. So I booked a reservation for Thursday night. So we went to him, and it was one of these, it was a members only restaurant where you don't apply or anything. You just get asked to be a member. And he said yes. He got asked to be members at 11 of these like extremely exclusive restaurants in Tokyo. And this one, it was, they have 900 members, and I sent you some pictures. I mean, it was quite possibly, like, it's hard for me to think of any meal I've had as being better than this. I mean, the food was outrageous. It was like some of the best cows in all of Japan, and and it was like raw with like ostrich egg and soy and like this sweet soy sauce. There was raw beef with like a caviar on it, raw beef with black truffles on it, and there was like 13 courses. And I was just, and the whole time, you know what he's talking about, Tim? He's not talking about space. He's talking about sake. And because this place has the rarest collections of sake in all of Tokyo. And so he's ordering sake after sake after sake. I mean, it's just, I was looking in the mirror of what I had wanted to be. So that was
the Sam, that sounds incredible. It's the most Sam story I've maybe ever heard. Every place you go, you try to outdo a story like this. And it sounds so Japan. Everyone, are you just like coming back now wanting to live in Japan? You're like, oh, you know, the West is over. Japanese got it figured out. It's so clean over there. It's so tidy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I just dig, Tim, how they're experts in everything. And, you know, I went late night to after I had a dinner, I went to this bar in the eastern side of Tokyo, that it's this old Japanese guy that has perfected the Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, and that guy. I've read about that guy. He recently came to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you told him about it. He was all over Twitter. He measures.
His bar is like of everything in Philadelphia. I tried to tell him like how good the bread was, and he doesn't really even speak English, which is also just like hilarious to me. Like that he just like fell in love with this idea of Philadelphia, which is like, how could anyone fall in love with the idea of Philadelphia?
Yeah, but there's like Eagles, there's like all sorts of city paraphernalia.
Yeah. It's like the whole place. And he's got like a map of like the Philly subway system. And he asks, he comes in like where they live in relation to this map. And I was like, well, I live in LA, and you know, it's a little off the map. He's like, put a star over there. Like, you know,
Do you think he was emboldened after visiting Philadelphia? Do you think it would strengthen his resolve, or do you think he got?
I don't know. I mean, I can't. I obviously used to live in Philadelphia, and so I would go see you, and it's not like what I would call like an inspiring city.
Lots of character, lots of spirit. There's a certain element there that you grow to like. But if you're passing through it, I wouldn't say you're going to walk away and go open a restaurant after. No, that's not.
And then make what they've made, but better. That's just amazing thing. That's the thing about, I want to do less, Tim, but be excellent in what I do. Because that's the Japanese way. You know,
you get a lot of life purpose, a lot of meaning from that too, Sam. You know, why do all these things when you could just go deep on bourbon?
You know? Yeah. Or Valencia podcast.
So great segue, Sam. We are flirting with European spots. Ooh.
Flirting. Very, very close.
Real Betis just dropped points. You know, things are looking our way. We're just right on the edge there. And playing some exciting football, Sam. Where should we start? It's been a while. But you know, we were coming off this big Real Madrid match that we didn't talk about.
No,
we even go there. Where to start? It's a whole podcast. We're coming off a Getafe win this past weekend. So mixed results, but the team maybe aside from Diakabi, poor Diakabi, is looking pretty fit. Everyone's is healthy. So Sam, where do we start? What do you want to talk about today?
I mean, I think some of the big questions are in the midfield for us. And I think it's still kind of thinking about, you know, Javi Guerra, Guillamón, Fran Perez, you know, who gets in, who gets out. And I think that that's still like something that he's kind of sorting through. And you know, I was surprised that in this past game that Guillamón didn't get the start, but Guillamón also didn't look amazing off the bench. And so it's, you know, this is something, these are all young players and he's kind of juggling them. And then like, there's, you know, guys like Pepe Lu who just don't make a single mistake, you know, in the entire season.
Yeah, they don't. He doesn't.
But getting that right, I think is like something that Baraja is grappling with. And then in the back line, we just don't have a lot of depth now with Diakabi. You know, getting Diakabi back was obviously a really big lift from the African Confederations Cup, but now our margins are pretty tight there. So I mean, Mosquera has been just unbelievable. I mean, so good.
Great really call.
Consistently kind of man of the match, around man of the match quality that we've seen from such a young center back, which is just so rare to have such a good young center back. It's what people will pay $100 million for a good young center back.
Yeah. Just renewed till 2026.
Yeah.
Big win for the squad. Now, does he get called up to national team or the U21? So, yeah, I mean, he's looked fantastic. He was great to watch in person, so domineering. So, that's a good point. It's a gift to have a young center back like that. But hopefully we can keep him around until 2026 at least. Sam, good point on the Pepe Lu, Javi Guerra, and Guillamón triangle, I guess. And not to mention Almeida, you know, is should be back now.
I know, he's lurking. He's healthy. I mean, for me, he was our most talented player at the beginning of the season. So, it's going to be interesting to kind of see how Baraja deals with that. I don't think that's a bad problem to have so many of these good players. And, you know, I'm not sure that I would suggest that we like change the 4-4-2 right now, even if it favors our personnel, because just, you know, the results have been good. And Hugo Duro, and we haven't mentioned him yet in this podcast. I know it's only been like 5 minutes, but he deserves a mention in the first minute, Tim, because this guy just keeps getting these goals, these gutsy plays. You know, as I was talking to Kyle, friend of the pod, this weekend, and he said how much he hated, and he's a Real Madrid fan, he said how much he hated Hugo Duro in that game. It's like, yeah, every team who plays him, they hate him. Yeah. They absolutely hate him. And it's one of the reasons why I love him so much, is that he's willing to kind of commit himself to our team and our cause in every game. Every game is a battle, you know, with him.
Yeah.
And Timmy, I was looking, there's only two Spaniards who have more goals than him in La Liga, Morata and Mayoral. So I think, you know, and he's by far the youngest of these three. I really think like this guy should get called up to the national team. And I think it's a question, because so many people hate him, of whether he will. But I think the next time Spain plays, Hugo Duro should be in there, because he's the only young Spanish forward like this that's scoring like this, at least in La Liga.
Yeah, good point. And he, you know, he can make something out of nothing. And Sam, he's just illustrated he can make something out of something with this goal against Getafe, this wonderful chip goal to secure that win. I mean, that was a slick finish. So he's firing on all cylinders right now. And he's willing to dive in the box at any moment. He's really like, he's a guy I would love to have on my team, because you never know what you'll get. He just might get that goal. You know, you think about the Madrid goal as well, just so quick for it to come off his head like that, on a missed hit. That's Hugo Duro right there for you.
He's so tenacious in the box, and he does have class. I think we overlook sometimes how much class he has, because it's so easy to see him as just this player who's like rolling around the ground, or like on a goal kick, like elbowing the chest of the center back, you know, and trying to fight, and then pleading to the ref that he did nothing wrong. I mean, that stuff is in some ways, I think, disguising how much class he has, because it's not just that he scores sometimes these beautiful goals, but he also just scores every opportunity he has. I mean, there are very few, you know, for a nine who he like doesn't miss a lot of opportunities. He doesn't get a ton of opportunities, but he doesn't miss many of them. And when he does, he often then scores later on. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're looking at, he's got 12 goals in the Liga, Tim, and we still have a lot of games left. I mean, it is not crazy to think that this guy could have 20 goals by the end of the season.
I know, it's incredible. When's the last time you had a 20 goal forward? We thought it was going to be,
if Rodrigo got to 20 goals. I mean, we definitely had that with Soldado.
Did he have it in 2018?
But look that up. But Rodrigo, I don't know if Rodrigo ever got to 20 goals. He got close. He got close.
Yeah.
During those Marcelino years, but
yeah, you know, yeah, I thought he broke 20. Maybe he didn't. We'll have to look it up. Where's our stats guy? Stats guy.
Yeah, stat boy.
Hugo Duro is the energy. I feel like he's the engine of this team in a way, right? Isn't this the not in a Bordalos way, but isn't his like energy really, it's got to be infectious for the rest of these players. You know, you have a forward who's kind of given up, and you know, we've had a few of those last few years. You got this guy's fighting on the end of every ball. You know, like that's a guy who will motivate Jose Gaya to just try to get that cross off just a little bit better because there's a little more hope on it. So much revolves around him. And you're right. He has so much awareness on the field. You know, he'll make really great runs off the ball. He checks too very well. So he's got a lot more than this like scrappiness to him. That's a great call.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Tim, he's growing up, he's the forward I always wanted to have on my team, but I never got. I always got like my forward was always like kind of a pretty boy who like in training sessions would make these amazing goals and then like would get like kind of pushed and then would kind of check out of games. Like I felt like I consistently,
I had a lot of
even
this
when
too.
I was on really good teams, like I consistently had these like forwards that were more focused on their hair than the game and were way better at practice than actually in the matches. And you know, one time you and I were reminiscing recently when you were in LA about our high school soccer. And I remember telling you, like, this guy we played against, I think he was at Cox, and I was marking him and he scored 3 goals and they were all on corner kicks. And he like, in every corner kick, he like punched me or like he fought me. And he like, and I mean, I respected him. He scored 3 goals on me. I actually thought I played really well that game, but I gave up 3 goals, right, to this guy. And we tied 3-3. But, like, man, I, like, always wanted a forward like that. Like, somebody who would be – who's talented, but who was gutsy and would
– Yeah.
And wouldn't mind becoming a villain, right? Like, wouldn't – like – and I actually really relish the fact that we, like, have this player who – is okay with being the villain, because it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of trade-offs to that as a player, right? I mean, like, you know, you could get moved around, you know, he could get sold, he's got a long career ahead of him. You don't see a lot of players kind of making this, carving out this role for them the way that he does, but he doesn't care, and I love about him.
Yeah, well, he's certainly starting to know how to play to his strengths, right?
Yeah,
he knows what he needs to do to get the most of a center back who's constantly annoyed by him. And you're right, I Sam, I always wanted a guy who's willing to like step on some toes and, you know, like throw an elbow, because I was never really that player to do that. So it's great to have the forward doing it. Sam, another guy I want to talk about is Mama. Mama has been, I don't think we talk about him enough.
We don't, really. Honestly. We just like. We just chalk up his success as just, we just take it for granted. We just take that big, handsome Georgian for granted, Tim.
That's right. We really do. We're like, oh yeah, great game again. Great game. But Sam, we really need to go back and tally how many like real game winning or game saving saves this guy has had. Incredible shot stopping. It looks like he's on his way out. We're already looking for replacements for him. But just in general, man, I don't know if we got lucky with this, but what a great transfer overall. Yeah. Last 2 years.
Tim, how much did he cost? Like 2 or 3 million? I mean, it was something unbelievable.
I was looking this up. It must have been, where did he come from? Where is it? I just had it. No, $850,000. Under $1 million.
$850,000.
I think we can get 30 million for him.
Oh yeah. I think we should try to hold out and get more.
Yeah. But I think he has a lot of interest. So 30 million there. And then possibly 30 or 40 for Javi Guerra. Sam, even with those two guys departing, let's assume they do, we have a really great base of players
Yeah.
Begin to the next year. We have a lot to be excited about. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but
not to get too ahead of ourselves.
Getting into Europe, Sam, we get some reinforcements. Diakabi gets his knee back. And, you know, Mama made some great saves for us, but I think we can probably get a competent goalie in
there.
Yeah,
you can get a cheap, good forward. Yeah.
Cheap, good guy. You know, we're looking at a guy, I think, you know, we can probably get someone with a lot of experience. We still have Wami Dominic. I think we have some youth talent as well. And then, Sam, we still have Almeida, Hugo Guillamón, and Pepe Lu in the midfield without Javi Guerra. Like,
yeah.
Maybe the best setup we've had in a long time right now with this Baraja squad. Very exciting.
Yeah. It's really exciting, Tim.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
What do we have coming up?
What do we have coming up? Let's look it up. Sam, I think we have a real chance here. We play Villarreal next Sunday, 17th, 11:15 our time. Let's see, is that at home or away? That's away. We played them home last time. Sam, the odds are 26% chance we're going to beat Villarreal. Is that fair?
I'll take it, Tim. I want to go into that match being an underdog against Villarreal. You know, we're playing against a lot of our old friends in this one. We also haven't won in that stadium in a long time, so I'll take it. But yeah, we're gonna win. We're gonna win this one, and it's gonna be 2-1, Tim.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. Well, they're coming off red cards. Looks like left back Alberto Moreno as a red card, but they are on a little bit of a run. 3-2 against Betis.
Yeah.
I think they. I just had this pulled up. I think they just narrowly lost to Getafe, and then coming off another win. So they're coming off 3 wins right now. I think we're gonna win though, Sam. I think we're gonna remember how we played against them. That was a rough game they just played. And I think we're coming off a pretty promising win. The guys looked really excited after this past match. Really pumped up. Hugo Duro's having a ton of fun. Even the Real Madrid match, you know, it ended in a lot of, you know, controversy with that call, but they were having fun even towards the end. We had a few key chances to win that game as well. So I think we're gonna win 2-0.
Love it.
What do you
Love
think?
It, Tim.
What do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's good.
Okay. And then after that, Sam, we go to Mallorca, Granada, Osasuna, and then Betis on 21st, which would be a big test.
A lot of winnable games. Obviously tough games, but winnable games. We've gone through, you know, this, we've gone through some of our hardest matches of this second half of the season. So there's a lot of opportunity, Tim. A lot of opportunity.
Yeah, Sam, we still have a game in hand. Remember, at 40 points, game in hand. Sociedad is, Betis are the two teams we're looking at. After that, Palmas, you know, 3 points back, and then it starts to drop off to Osasuna and Villarreal, 36, 35 points. So let's see what Sociedad's got coming up for. We maybe sign off of this thing. They go to Cadiz, Alaves, Almeria, and then Getafe. So not a hard run of games until they meet Real Madrid. And then us on May 15th. So we have some options here. We got Betis and Real Sociedad coming up. Big, 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 big games for us, Sam. Big games. Okay. What else?
Okay. I think that's it, Tim. I think that's it. We're going to commit to a better cadence. We've been both traveling a lot, but we're going to be around for a little bit. So next Tuesday, we'll be recording at this time.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Until then.
Okay. Until then.
Goodbye. Okay,